time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Daddy McTook. As always, I'm joined by Dr. Rosie, Dr. Kesmaji, and John Aaron, our special, very special analyst, the boy genius, as they call him. And we have a very special guest. I'm talking about Jake Arthur, and I'm sure you all know him from Sports Illustrated, right? But he also is the host of the Believe in the Colts podcast. And after the magic that Philip Rivers pulled off on Sunday, I got to say, I'm starting to believe in the Colts a little bit. They look to have some potential. So, Jake, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, look, it's easy to look like a superstar when you go up against the Bengals. I wouldn't put too much into this last game.
Yeah, I'd have to be honest with you. With the start they got off to, that's two consecutive games where they've gotten off to an awful start. So you don't get all the warm fuzzies from this victory, to be honest with you. Especially with how the defense had played early on in the season. You just wonder what has happened these last 2 weeks. And it's great they've gone into halftime in the locker room and made adjustments and have been able to fix those issues. But against the Browns, they weren't so lucky. They couldn't come back, and they were very fortunate to come back and stifle the Bengals defensively, and then for their offense to move it along and score enough points to win, because they were an enormous hole going into halftime. So they got really lucky. It's a good thing they're going into their bye now, because they got some soul searching to do right now.
Oh, as do we, as do the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, soul searching is an eternal journey, isn't
it? It is. Yes, I actually. It's funny. I teach a course in soul searching. So, and I will tell you this: Cincinnati Bengals really have sold their soul. I don't know if they could ever find it.
They had to get Joe Burrow.
They had to. Yeah, they sold it to Zach Taylor. Yeah,
it's a good point by Arthur though, because last week the Colts played the Browns. Baker Mayfield played really well in the second and the first half, and then the Colts threw everything that they had at him, and then they ended up on top. But the difference between the Browns and the Bengals right now, because you had once again a bad first half, is that Colts actually have a really good coaching staff, and the Bengals' last two losses now have been indicative of severe coaching deficiencies. Either you get blown out of the water against the Ravens and their great organization staff and just overall talent, and then you have a game against the Colts where for some reason the Colts just looked like they were dead in the water for the first quarter, and then something just came alive. And as we know it, the Colts just have had a better coaching staff. Like Eberflus, Frank Wright, those guys are great play callers. Those guys are great, schemers of talent. And that's kind of what we saw in this game. Like, it was the Bengals losing in both ways the last 2 weeks that are indicative of just poor coaching. Either you get destroyed out of the gate and you fail to make adjustments, or you don't know how to play with the lead and you don't know how to counter the opposing team's counter. It was just so damning on their reputation.
Well, exactly, John. And when I was watching that first half, I was thinking to myself, could it be that Zach's just too young and we've been quick to judge? Could it be that years and years of frustrations and loss have made us a bit on edge? Could it be that we need to be more patient? I was thinking all these things. But then by the time we get to the second half, I was like, what the hell? I mean, why is this guy, how many chances is this guy going to get? Because he's gotten lots of chances.
Right.
We have been very patient.
This was his 12th road game, right? And this was, I think, the one he was most likely to win. And all he had to do was just close it out. And I guess, like, all right, the first quarter, the second quarter, they kind of cancel each other out, right? The Colts had an awful first quarter. The Bengals had an awful second quarter. At the end of the day, you go into halftime, it's basically 0-0. It's 24-21, right? From then on is where you can make the actual observations about what happened. So the offense failed to like put up a touchdown after that. You know, they had like a field goal, and that was the last points of their game. The defense, you know, did a decent job on the first drive, but then gave up a touchdown on the second drive. And if it wasn't for Jesse Bates making that incredible interception, Colts probably score on that possession and put the game out of reach at that point. Jesse Bates gave that offense life. Unfortunately, it was up to Zach Taylor and that offense to move the ball down the field and score. And we have to talk about that 4th-and-1. We have to talk about that 3rd-and-1 situation.
Yes, exactly what I was going to say. Because I saw a comment right on our screen blaming the Bengals defense. Bengals defense did great. I don't think a lot of the Bengals fans realize that you're in an NFL today where it's about outscoring your opponent, not keeping them from scoring. They don't realize that. And 100%, John, it was that 3rd-and-1 when they bring out the fullback and everybody on both sides of the ball knew who was going to run it. He comes cold off the bench. And why would you call that play, John? I don't understand. John, help me. I do not understand.
There is no explanation to that. Like you said, it was a play that has a very minimal chance of working. And then obviously you put the trust in Bullock to kick a 48-yard field goal. But unfortunately, after making 15 in a row, he misses this. But Arthur, I want to bring it to you. Like, from that second quarter of Rivers, what exactly was working for the Colts passing game that wasn't working in the first quarter? Like, what were they doing differently? Was it just the lack of Bengals pass rush, or were they implementing concepts that were just better for what the Bengals were bringing?
It's really stuff that hadn't been working or being attempted much throughout the first several games. For the first time, we really saw them go, and they were kind of forced into this, but they went up tempo. They put the game in Phillip Rivers' hands. There were a lot of downfield throws, lots of chunk plays, and that's just not what we'd been seeing previously. And Phillip had some really good games against the really bad teams that the Colts have faced. And I kind of, it seems weird to put them in the same context, but the Jaguars wasn't all that great against the Jaguars. The Bears wasn't a great game. The Browns wasn't a great game. But now it seems like playing from behind with a pass heavy offense is better suited for his abilities. The Colts had a lot more downfield things. I mean, Marcus Johnson, you guys probably didn't expect to see him go for 100. Neither did we. Although he's been the Colts' best downfield threat since last December, really. He's got a catch of 25 yards or more in 3 straight games. So I don't know. I think this was more what the Colts were forced to do. They really liked to run the ball, but they had to completely abandon that because of the hole they were in. But just finding his guys downfield. Trey Burton has been a welcome addition coming back from IR. It's made the Mo Alley Cox hoopla already kind of dissipate because Phillip Rivers clearly likes Trey Burton quite a bit already. So it's just some new things they were forced into, and getting Trey Burton back was a big help as well.
Yeah. Well, I can't say much about the Colts. I don't follow the Colts, but I can say a lot about the Bengals. And I can say that when we saw AJ Green getting his redemption, that was a beautiful thing. When we saw Joe Burrow, first year, you know, quarterback, up 21 points, doing everything right. The kid had a lot of dreams. And he throws one interception at the end of the game and people start blaming him. And the coaching staff starts to blame him. I'm going to tell you, if there was ever a game that proved where the blame lies, it was this game. It was this game. And the blame lies with the coaching. And I'll tell you this, Jake, and I don't know if it's like this in Indianapolis, but in Cincinnati, we have a problem with responsibility culpability. Our coaches don't get fired very frequently, and they don't take the blame very frequently. And that's a big problem. That's a big problem moving forward. That's how I feel right now.
Kind of the opposite of what the Browns have going on in their neck of the woods.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, the coaching staff gets a lot of trust from the front office. They don't bring in guys they don't trust, and they're going to give a pretty decent leash to. A lot of people had been calling for Chuck Pagano's job for at least a couple years before he was let go. Same with Ryan Grigson. But no, there's not a lot of blame, at least not from the fan base, that goes onto the coaching staff very often. There are definitely some boo birds out there. But no, in general, they've earned quite a bit of trust. But this season has been a bit trying just because you have no idea what this team is. They're 4-2, but we don't even really know how good they are. They've just made some self-inflicted mistakes. I thought yesterday, for the first time defensively, I thought they looked lethargic and like they just weren't ready to start the game at all. And that's not at all what we see from a Matt Eberflus defense. If you're doing anything, you're giving effort and going all out. And I can't say they weren't, but they looked tired immediately. It was really odd. But no, this coaching staff has earned some trust. I mean, we'll see how the second half of the season goes as they enter their bye week. But no, I think everything is still relatively rosy there.
But Jake, first of all, I want to apologize for calling you Arthur about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, you're good, man.
Completely my bad. But how is it like watching a game with Phillip Rivers at quarterback and a quarterback in the game throwing a game ceiling interception, but it wasn't Phillip Rivers this time?
It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a couple times where it's just been a dagger, a bad throw and everything. And I'll give Joe Burrow a little credit. I mean, he was trying to make something happen. The safety who picked it off, Julian Blackman, it just so happens his bread and butter is his football IQ and his instincts. So maybe not every defensive back makes that play, but a guy like Blackman
does. He was on the injury report too, right?
Yeah, so he's had a little bit of an injury thing this whole time. So he tore his ACL in the Pac-12 championship in December. And then I don't think he played week one, but he finally made his debut week two. And I think he was on the injury report one more week there after he returned. And then he had, I think, some sort of lower body thing, like a groin or something. But he didn't miss very much practice time. But he was on the initial injury report, I think, as a limited participant.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I'd like to hear at some point Daddy's insights here, because Daddy and I spent a long time criticizing Marvin Lewis, and we had the talent back then, and we always thought, hey, if we get a new coaching lineup, things will change. We got the new day, and we're seeing the same problems that we saw before, even worse in some ways. I'd like to really hear some big ideas about what can be done, if not to save this year, to save this team. I mean, the Bengals aren't going to ever have a GM, fine. But are they going to have some, culpability with the coaching staff? I thought, it seemed to me that Zach Taylor was even blaming Burrow a little bit. If I got that vibe right, I remember there was a statement, I was trying to think what it was, where he's pointing about the interception. The game wasn't about the interception. Am I wrong about that?
I think you got a point. Like, at the end of the day, you're not going to have a traditionally run franchise here with traditional decision making. You're going to have a guy in Duke Tobin who's going to have his job for his life because he toes the company line. At the end of the day, it just comes down to the guys that they hire on the coaching staff being the proper talent evaluators. That was such an issue in the Marvin Lewis era when you had, Paul Alexander at the end of his tenure failing to draft and develop offensive linemen. Same thing happened with Marvin Lewis. There was just a lot of staleness in that whole process. And then you switch it up to Zach Taylor and you're running into similar problems where you have so much trust in the coaching staff to evaluate these players, not only in the offseason when making new acquisitions and draft picks, but during the season in terms of making the decisions about who to play and how to play them. So you're running into the same issues, but this time it's just a extremely less experienced staff making these bad decisions still, but there's not as much faith and hope in them because at some point, it has to get better at some point. But if it doesn't, then you're kind of just back to square one.
Yeah, I wonder what happens, really. I'm really curious how things change.
They stay bad until they aren't,
Just, and I'm also really worried about playing the Pittsburgh Steelers coming, when we play the Steelers, I don't remember. When's that game?
That's like in November. I think everyone's afraid of the Steelers right now. They're 5-0.
They're 5-0, but I'm not afraid of losing. I'm legitimately afraid of Joe Burrow getting hurt because the offensive line did okay this last game. It was better than the previous things. But what do you think, John? I mean, this offensive line, analyze it for me. Tell me what's happening.
It's bad because it's really bad. Players. There's bad players on it. Like, it's Alex Redmond and Bobby Hart holding down one half. And credit to both those guys for some reason, we just didn't see a lot of DeForest Buckner in this game until the very end when he beat Redmond clearly on a swim move and got a sack on him. So, he was taken out of the game for a decent amount, but at the end of the day, talent will win. And Buckner is one of the best, if not the best, three technique in the game right now. And Jay can speak to this as well. Like, he's by far the best player on that defense. And it just seemed like when he was non-factor, the entire defense was a non-factor.
Right.
Yeah. And another common theme in these last couple games is Darius Leonard has been out as well with a groin injury. And it's easy to draw those parallels between, okay, Leonard is out and the defense has played awful, in the, at least in the first halves of these games. One guy can't make that much of a difference, you know? So without DeForest Buckner being dominant quite yet, and, you know, early on in the game, maybe that did play a role. I was a little surprised. I thought he would dominate from you know, start to finish, and he did turn it up in the second half, had a couple tackles for loss and a sack. But no, it's apparently if Leonard isn't in there and on and Buckner's not dominating, then that does affect. It has a trickle-down effect on the rest of the guys, especially with Buckner, because he opens things up next to him for the defensive ends to really get after the passer, because he commands double teams quite often.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, it is. I wonder what happened to AJ Green this last game. He was looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened? It was like we had lost hope in AJ Green. All of a sudden, he looked great. He was catching things like he had one really beautiful catch. It was like beneath the, just down. It was down. It was very nice.
Like in the for the Colts credit, when Xavier Rhodes was lining up against him, I think Rhodes had a decent amount of success. He gave up like two catches on four targets, but every other defender that Green was going up against, he was roasting. I think he was lined up against Anthony Walker for a couple times, and I think that was on one like a slant on like third down where he just converted an easy first. So credit to Green for looking like his old self. He got some good matchups this game. But how about T. Higgins though? Like that's the first, you know, deep pass that we saw from this entire offense. You know, going up against Rocky Sin down the sideline.
That was a great pick. Mm-hmm. Taking T. Higgins was a smart move. I mean, I would give the Zach Taylor people some credit for, personally, for example, I'll be honest with you, back when it was between Burrow and Herbert, I was more Herbert. But then I understood that Burrow is the better pick because he's better for this team. He can actually coach himself in a lot of ways. So I realized that Burrow was the right move for this team. And now I love Burrow. I think he's the best. And T. Higgins was a good pick. So they did a good job with the picks. But I think it's time to move on to another team, Zach Taylor. Go on. You know, shoot. So
I think that's a good segue for our final thoughts here. We gotta kind of wrap up. So yeah. Jake, any final thoughts from this game?
Like I said, I mean, it's a victory. You'll take a W anytime. But the bye week is very much coming up at a great time for the Colts. And not just focusing on the Colts, but I like to see, you know, other guys that I like from other teams doing well. I did really like to see AJ Green get going. Of course, not at the expense of the Colts. I'm a Joe Mixon guy. You know, T. Higgins was picked one pick before the Colts in the second round when they picked Michael Pittman. So I think that was a possibility
for the Colts. I don't want to interrupt you, but we do have to end the show. We are almost out of time. But don't forget to subscribe to our show, give it a 5-star review, and also to Jake's show, Believe in the Colts. That is all we have for this time. We will see you next time. So long, SVT. Bye.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.